Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
The corn harvest has started in earnest across the Midwest, and futures rallied 7 cents for the week. That's a nice little contra-seasonal trend. Can it continue? We're trying to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Bill Biederman of Allendale out of Crystal Lake, Illinois. Our panelists today are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Thursday, the average Central Illinois cash corn price was 25 under the December. Beans were 30 under the Noves. Traditionally, these numbers would widen as harvest kicks off, but frankly, these are much better bids than were available a month ago when the market was definitely encouraging farmers to store corn. Has your view of cash sales across the scale changed along with the narrowing basis? And we'll start with you, Brian Stark of the Andersons.
I think they have, Todd. I think the bottom line is that corn's been delayed locally, especially in central Illinois, due to wetter moistures we've seen in the past, it was because of later maturing hybrids or whatever it may be. But the pipeline has just not been filled up. End-user processors like ADM and Decatur, Bunge and Danville, all have been scrambling for corn. They may have moisture restrictions that they cannot meet right now due to the wetter variety where it's coming out of the field. And because of that, the basis is firmed. And until we get a good supply moving into the pipeline to them, I anticipate it to continue to be firm.
Wayne Nelson?
Well, I think he said most of it right there, Todd. And I think that, yes, our views have changed immensely. Why not take what we're being bid for December right now and not have to pay storage on it or put it in the bin and have room for something else?
And Pete Manhart.
And I think tight farmer holding of what's been harvested has also helped push that price up.
Here's how the University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good addressed that question earlier this week in his weekly Outlook letter, by the way. You can read it online at farmdoc.uiuc.edu, and I'll paraphrase big time. He says, because the cost of commercial storage is higher than in past years, it is likely no longer profitable to store corn at the elevator. The existing carry in the market probably exceeds the cost of using on-farm storage. So store it on the farm, says Darrell Good, or sell it across the scale and replace it on paper. Darrell offers up several alternatives. Do you have a plan that farmers can use?
Yeah, stuff you've got pre-sold, you're okay there. Stuff you don't have sold, if you've got storage at home, store it. If not, put it across the scale. And we still think there'll be a harvest low here by futures being pressed down by harvest, because we are late on the harvest, and we can rebuy cheaper than storage at the elevator later on.
Yes, we're liking to say the same as that. With the basis tight now, if you can take advantage before it widens back out, let's move it across the scale for stuff we don't have room for or have sold, and replace it with some options and maybe bull call spreads. If we need to cheapen things up, we don't want to sell two to buy one. And if we do, we would do a put below the market and a call above the market like that, but not double sell on top of things in case we would get this market to really roll.
I would agree with Wayne and Pete. I think selling across the scale while the basis is tight is a good strategy. I, on the other hand, think that storage is relatively cheap compared to where we're going to be with the size of the crop at the end of harvest. I think if you can lock in a reservation rate, a cheap enough rate for storage, you can leave your opportunities open for an LDP, although I do not think we're going to see much of one in corn this fall. But everyone's in the belief that next spring things are going to get awfully interesting, so that storage option does leave the flexibility to sell better values down the road.
In Chicago this week, December corn went to a high of $2.68, a low of $2.52.5. That DEES contract rallied 7.25 cents from week to week, and finished at $2.62 on Friday afternoon. December corn for next year, the 2007 crop, $3.02. They finished 7 cents higher for the week. Quarterly grain stocks report released Friday morning by USDA. Corn stocks in all positions as of September the 1st totaled 1.97 billion bushels. That's down 7% from the September 1, 2005 corn stocks number. Of the total stocks, 750 million bushels are stored on farm, down 9% from a year earlier. Off-farm stocks at 1.22 billion bushels are down 6% from a year ago. And the June to August 2006 indicated disappearance is 2.39 billion bushels. And that compared with 2.21 billion bushels during the same period last year. So usage is good, better than last year, and the stocks are down. Shall we talk about ethanol again, or would it be better to take up the potential of making 2007 cash corn sales now that futures have jumped above $3? Wayne?
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd, above $3 is a nice place in many ways people are thinking. But if we look at the increased ethanol demand, supposedly our usage bigger than our production, and the need to buy more acres, we're not really aggressive in that time frame for right now. We're going to sit back, try to give it a chance to let us buy some of those acres.
Brian, I'd like you to address that again. You spoke about it just a bit.
I think I echo Wayne's sentiments. I think you have to sit back and wait. If you've seen Informa's numbers here within the past week, 83.1 million acres is a first 07 estimate, 3.7 million increase in corn. You look through the balance sheet of harvested acres is 76 million. We're looking at a projected carryout somewhere around 774 million bushels. That's awfully tight. I think it's still not enough acres. We're looking at 4 to 5 million, more towards the 5 million needed. So it's going to take 320, maybe even 330 D7 board to encourage these acres. So I sit and wait.
You think that's right?
I don't mind waiting for most of it, but I tell you what, when the corn got to 315, 318 here a couple of weeks ago, I had guys sell 10 to 20%. Over $3 doesn't happen very often.
You talked to farmers during the week. How's harvest going in the parts of the world that you're got your ear to the ground on?
South Central Illinois, from Jacksonville to Springfield over to Champaign, not as good as expected, 150s to 180s. Deep southeastern Illinois, better than expected. Southwestern Illinois, poor. As we go north, McLean County and north, yields are starting to come in lots better. We're hearing 200 plus. We're hearing lots of 180s, 190s, 2s, 220s. And as we go north, the yields have just improved.
Indiana not really getting a good start yet?
Not a very good start yet, Todd. What we've seen, there's some disappointment in some areas, but the disappointment levels shouldn't be that high, knowing with all the replant we had. I've said that all along. South of Route 36, tremendously good crops in Indiana, what we've seen so far on a limited basis. The beans coming in 55 to 65 bushels. And on up north, why we're picking back up in the 170, 180 bracket. So, pretty good start on things. A little bit of disappointment in parts of Indiana on the corn.
Brian, here in our part of the world, it seems like they've just only decided to take off the end rows and not much else.
Yeah, the corn's been wet. Like I mentioned before, we haven't been drying down as fast as we have in the past, maybe due to replanting later start this year. But for whatever reason, we're probably only about 5% completed in corn, less than 10% in beans. Guys have used this week as an opportunity to get towards the beans. The bean yields have been excellent in central Illinois, anywhere from 55 to 65 bushel of the acres. The corn, 180 to 200 bushels covers the range. I think a lot of guys that have been expecting 210 to 220 based on the rains they caught may be a little bit disappointed, but 180, 185 yields are still pretty good.
You mentioned the beans. Let's take a look at what happened in Chicago for the week. November's had a high price this week of $5.55. A low at $5.42, their settlement price down a penny and three quarters from the previous week at $5.47.5. And next year's November contract at $6.10 was up 1.75 for the week. Quarterly grain stocks for the beans look like this. The old crop soybeans stored in all positions as of September the 1st totaled 449 million bushels. That's up 75% from last year. Don't jump yet. Remember, we came into that year really short supplied. Still, this is the largest September 1 stocks level since 1986. Soybean stock stored on the farm totaled 176 million bushels, up 77% from a year ago. Off farm stocks at 272 million bushels are up 75% from last September. Indicated disappearance June to August, 542 million bushels, up 22% from the same period a year ago. So the USDA report says stocks are way higher than last year, but the usage is running along quite nicely. And there were actually about 20 million fewer beans put in the bin last fall than first thought. The market took it all in stride and seemed to yawn just a bit at the thought of deciphering all those numbers. What'd you make of the numbers, Brian?
Well, the numbers are awfully, I wouldn't say awfully friendly, but they're friendly long-term. When you look at 449 million bushels, largest since 86, it's a big number. It's going to take a while to get past that, but I think why they yawn today is because you look at all the yields we've been hearing, excellent yields. You go into Iowa, they've been averaging across many parts 70 bushels of the acre in beans from what we've heard. I haven't heard a bean yield lower than 50 at this point. So you look at that number, and then you look at what we're going to bring into this coming fall with this harvest, and we're going to have a burdensome supply that's going to take a while to get used or get rid of.
I think Brian's been reading the FC Stone numbers already for this week. They released some interesting numbers Friday. Its corn figure was below, but not so far off the USDA's 11.1 billion bushel estimate, but the bean figure was way bigger, pegging the crop at a whopping, record-breaking, bin-busting, hope they don't shatter all over the place, 3.266 billion bushels on a 44.2 bushel to the acre yield. USDA currently says 3.1 billion. What if FC Stone's right and the soybeans are really there?
Well, I think soybeans right now, if they're really there, we're going to see a new low on the soybeans, and I think we will yet from harvest. I think the thing you got to realize is down the road after we churn through them, if we're going to plant a lot less soybeans for next year and South America planting a lot less, I like soybeans for next fall.
I'd have to agree with Pete. When we get this big dip from the FC Stone number, when it becomes a reality, it's probably going to be good to want to invest in a few beans. But I think that as for now, we have to look at the production we're seeing. We get the pipeline full. That's why we're saying take advantage of this tight basis while they're still offering it, and then stock them away when the basis tightens up.
And I agree with them. I think it may be a good opportunity to own beans when we put in our harvest lows. We've been in firm believement that eventually when these numbers are realized, we're going to see anywhere from a 20 to 30 cent LDP. So we've been advocating put them into storage and play the redeem and dream game. Take your LDP, move on into spring, and when we fight for acres, that'll be your opportunity on the bean side.
December oats, a 206 and a quarter settlement price, up 3.5 cents from last week. From the wheat market, soft red December contract, 453 on the high. The low at 411 and a quarter. December settled at $4.43. They were up 24 cents from last week. July wheat for next year at $4.60 on the harvest month, up 28 cents. All wheat stored in all positions September the 1st totaled 1.74 billion bushels, according to USDA, down 9% from a year ago. On-farm stocks at 572 million bushels. They were down 21% from last September. Off-farm stocks at 1.17 billion bushels, down 3% from a year ago. The June-August indicated disappearance, 640 million bushels, and that was down 11% from the same period last year. It seems wheat could be where the real explosion might happen in the short term. The bull market there has been building, and it appears the nearbys may soon actually lead the deferred months. Tell me about that type of transformation.
Well, wheat's been the most volatile crop for the last month or two. We went up to 430, back to 380 a couple of times, and now we've went through it. How far will it go? Will the corn and beans drag it down here at harvest? I don't know. But I think with those high prices, you're going to see a lot more acres planted. So you're going to have to be careful of where you're at, of when you get rid of that wheat that you are intending to plant, because we could see it drop next summer quite a bit due to the several million more acres of wheat.
Sell sooner rather than later?
Well, Todd, I think that we're looking at the big change down in Australia. The Australian Wheat Board come out and shocked everybody this week the way they dropped the crop down there. And that took the world stocks down quite a bit. We're hearing, other places, India, saying they might not be looking for different places. We read on a Newswire today at noon that some analysts in Chicago are now forecasting $6 Chicago futures during February and March on this wheat when it all tightens up and it gets hard to get your hands on at that point in time. We think there's going to be a lot more acres of wheat planted this fall, but we've got to get these crops that are still in the field off to get this timely in the ground timely.
Taking a look at the mercantilic. Oh, you've got one thing else?
One comment on the wheat. Remember that the basis is really bad on wheat in this area. We had 80 cent to $1.10 basis this summer on wheat.
I would add to what Pete was saying. The one thing that concerns me about farmers intending to plant wheat is to watch the basis. I think you have a couple-month time window where we could see wheat futures rally due to the tightening world stocks when they look at other countries. But the problem the U.S. has had, we've missed out on tenders because we can't meet phytosanitary issues. Those other countries are going to have to relax that. And if they don't, our basis could be as weak or weaker next July.
Taking a look at the USDA's quarterly hogs and pigs report, which was released Friday afternoon, the all hogs and pigs on September the 1 at 101%. That's right at the average trade guess. The kept for breeding at 102 on the average trade guess, just above that. And kept for marketing at 101, right at the average trade guess as well. The numbers at the mercantile exchange for the week look like this. The live cattle October contract at 91.45, high low at $90.10. Their settlement price at $90.65, up 55. October feeder cattle at $112.90, were down $3.15. October a lean hog, $63.75, the high, the low at $61.72.5. And the lean hog settled 97.5 cents higher at $63.62.5. The February bellies at $92.02.5 were up $5.52.5 from last week. So, Pete, what'd you make of the hogs and pigs report, and what are your expectations for the livestock next week?
Well, the breeding herd thing was a little negative for further out, but nearby, we've got the hogs have come back up quite a bit, especially the bellies. They're getting back towards their high end. I would expect the bellies to go back down a little in just a range. I would expect hogs to be a little higher next week.
In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Bill Biederman of Allendale out of Crystal Lake.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Illinois experienced the autumn temperature roller coaster this week as temperatures went from cool to mild and back to cool again. When all was said and done, temperatures this week averaged from 2 to 4 degrees below normal. By late in the week, the eastern half of Illinois flirted with frost as overnight lows dropped into the 30s. For most of the state, rainfall this week was limited to just some widely scattered light showers. The exception was southern Illinois, where heavy thunderstorms brought several inches of rain to some locations at the beginning of the week. For the month of September as a whole, rainfall is running at or ahead of normal in northeastern Illinois and well above normal in southern Illinois. Rainfall is running about 75% of normal in the western half of the state. Illinois and the Midwest will experience a nice warm-up the first full week of October, which will be a nice boost for harvest activities. Scattered showers are possible about midweek as a front drops through Illinois, with the best chances for rain in northern Illinois if the front stalls out as expected. However, it's likely that not a lot of moisture will be available for the front to work on, so showers should be scattered and many areas will not see any rain at all. You can check the status of temperatures and precipitation in Illinois and the Midwest on the Midwest Climate Watch page of the MRCC website. This is updated daily, and the web address is mrcc.sws.uiuc.edu. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week on WILL AM 580. Our panelists today are Brian Stark of the Andersons here in Champaign County, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Bill Biederman of Allendale out of Crystal Lake, Illinois, joins us now as our guest for the afternoon. Bill, tell me a little bit about how farmers are proceeding there, what kind of yields you're hearing in that part of the world, please.
Well, we work with customers nationwide. So the trend that we've saw was, Kansas and parts of southern Nebraska got off to a poor start. Of course, Nebraska corn is going down. But what we are hearing is that the more they get into these yields, the better they're getting. And I heard one of the folks there say he hasn't heard a bean yield below 50. I would have to concur with that. We put out a sheet every day, and there has not been any yields that I know of below 50. A lot of 60s, a lot of 70s. Top yield we've heard is 84, and that's a field average.
Bill, I just wondering, how are you recommending producers pursue with their corn strategies for grain? Maybe they haven't sold when it looks like now with the fund interest in buying right now, we're not going to see a big corn LDP. What's your recommendations there?
Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of overage this year. I mean, folks are going to have, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15 bushel more beans than normal. You know, you could be talking 15,000 bushel for a farmer out there. You could be talking, you know, a guy, I mean, we're hearing some averages, 220. I had one farm average in west central Illinois the other day went 240 bushel per acre. I mean, we're talking massive overages of what a person is normally used to handling. This overage should be sold, we think, on this rally. I mean, you know, basis is good. I heard you guys talking. Every one of you said, well, I'd sell this. Well, you know, if you got overage, I'd sell it too, and especially beans because there's good cash flow, right? We're getting the highest or pretty close to the highest cash price today that we saw for forward contracting all year. So you can't kick yourself for selling that if you have to sell overage. But stuff you can store, I mean, corn, you know, we're bullish. We've got the tightest stocks in the world of starched grains, period. We're down to less than 2 bushels per person who live in the world. We've got new buyers, people who are competing like, you know, the pros, like the Adiums and the Cargills. They're competing with new buyers who haven't been around, like the ethanol folks. And the whole dynamic of buying grain is changing. So, I mean, are we bullish? Anything with starch in it, we're bullish, no doubt.
Bill, everybody seems to want to re-own this crop of what they do have to move. Number one, do you agree with that philosophy? And if so, how are you doing it?
Well, I agree with that, but I think you have to take a trader's approach at getting in. I mean, like right now, for instance, you have to look at the dynamic of the market today. We just had a heck of a rally, 40 cents in wheat, 20-some cents in beans. In corn, and we had a negative close on a day after a report when weather looks ideal, and seasonally, eight out of 10 years, the day after the report, the stocks report, for instance, next Monday, 8 out of 10 years, corn market will be 5 cents lower next Monday than it was today. And next Monday, 7 out of 10 years, soybeans will be 14 cents lower. You're going into harvest, all this stuff. So the bottom line is, from a trader's perspective, yeah, if I sold it today, I'd be waiting probably a week or two, wait till we drop down near support. I'd buy it back, sure.
What level are you looking to buy back, Bill?
Well, there's gaps, I believe, on the corn at 250. There's another gap at 242. I mean, we'll take a little pot shot at and see how it feels there. But I think somebody mentioned putting on some kind of a box where you buy a call, sell a put. I think that's a great way for some of these producers to buy back. You don't have a whole lot of stress or risk with that. It's not quite like futures. Once the trend is established, though, I'd be buying futures. I think that's a good thing. I'd be buying March, and I'd be buying way out in December of 07.
How about on the beans? Would you look to buy those, too, because of and how far out would you go on those? I mean, again, I'm like you. I'm going to wait a week, anywhere from 1 week to 3 weeks to see if we get lows. But for next year with less acres of beans.
Well, you know, I'm a little concerned about how bullish everybody just got this week. We got a lot of speculative money that came in and rushed in and bought this corn and wheat market. And maybe it's going to take more than 2 to 3 weeks to find a low. But whatever that low is in corn and wheat, that's when you want to buy the beans too, probably. I'm not real bullish beans. We've been bearish beans a long time. We're still bearish. I heard you telling everybody that you're going to make new contract lows, and, you know, you might be right on that. So I think the beans, you want to drag your feet the most and, you know, keep your pulse on the corn and the wheat. And when you feel like you got a good, strong pulse there, then maybe it's time to be out of your shorts in the beans.
You mentioned that there are a lot of new, different commercial buyers in the marketplace, and that's changed the dynamic a bit, but that we really don't know just how that will occur. What what does your gut tell you the mistakes they'll make will be, and can you are you prepared to capitalize on those yet?
Oh, I think as a producer, as a supplier of the market, we can capitalize. A, you know, once you got your overage taken care of, lock the key, go away, take the money you made on your overage and go to Hawaii and stay there, you know. I mean, the bottom line is this. You've got a lot of people who are going to be nervous. They got new boards they got to talk to. They got to buy grain. That's they got to buy it. And we've got the total starched grain situation of all starched grains. I'm talking rye, barley, all of the starched grains worldwide. We're down less than 2 bushels. Never have had a tighter situation. So not only do we have all the ethanol folks here in the domestic situation here, you got a whole world. You got a whole bunch of people wanting to buy. And, you know, so somebody's going to get nervous, start bidding up.
I want to interrupt you just for a second. Do they really have to buy grain? I mean, they don't have to, because can't they just force the guys that are in most of these with their corn contracts to sell them grain anyway?
Well, I don't think so. I think the whole dynamic...
Well, that's the way the contracts are written.
Survey, and we found in this survey, which, by the way, is within like 0.3% of being right, and on production size, and at the same time we survey percent sold, we have one of the lowest percent sold crops ever out there. So the farmers haven't made a lot of contracts. These buyers don't know when that grain's coming in. That's the difference. So, you know, if I need grain to fill trains or if I need grain to keep my grind going, I can't just call them up and say, hey, deliver that contract. I have to say, I'm going to give you this price if you'll bring it to me today. And if they say no, I say, well, will you take this price?
I just wanted to comment, Bill. I tend to disagree on the farmer selling this year. I know we're only looking at a smaller percentage from our facility in Champaign, but we've advocated forward contracting for a long time as a risk management tool. And this year, above all years, we've seen farmers really sell ahead at least 2/3 of their crop. I think it's they've done an excellent job. The beans, not so much, but the corn, I think they've done a real good job doing that.
Well, I've got more customers with more sold this year than ever.
Yeah, but are you talking cash contracts or are you talking futures and options?
No, I'm talking cash. Account? Cash sold.
Cash sold.
Cash sold.
You know, I have to say that maybe we're working with bigger producers then that have more independent mindset. But the bottom line is, you know, these guys were short the board. Don't get me wrong. They were protected. But they don't have cash contracts. They're going to go to the highest bidder. So my guess is that you're going to have a lot of people who start getting nervous. It's just like wheat. Why did wheat rally 40 cents? It's because one buyer out there said, holy cow, I better get it bought before there isn't any to buy. And that triggered a whole thing of other buyers buying, and then the funds come in and buy, and within 6 days you're 37 cents higher, something like that.
Bill,
I mean, you know, why can't we see that in corn?
Bill, we need to let you go. We appreciate you being with us today.
Okay.
Bill Biederman is with Allendale. He's out of Crystal Lake in Illinois. Now, an opportunity for a final word for our panelists. Brian Stark, please.
Final word, Todd. I would just say to look at your corn position. Any overages, continue to sell across the scale. I think while this basis is firm, beans, I would advocate putting into storage. Wait for a bigger bean LDP, and then hopefully get a better price down in the spring as we fight for acres.
Wayne Nelson of L&M.
Well, we're starting into harvest full swing here pretty soon, Todd. We're running late. People get nervous. Remember, take your time. Be careful. Wet grain moves worse. Be careful and be safe.
And Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
And I was just talking to several people in the Chicago area today at the Board of Trade, and they said they think that we're now going to, as Biederman said, start seeing harvest pressure to see that stuff pushed back down. Be ready to re-own if you've sold a lot.
That's Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.